If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming.
You don't even realise that the bar that they're looking for is like, do you actually turn up? Do you turn up on time? Like, just by the fact that you've done two of those things, I bet for a lot of these trial shifts, that's like, you know, 20% of the battle.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind the scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, and welcome back our incredible listeners from wherever you happen to be listening to this around the world. It's time for our favorite part. The thing that we do at the beginning of every episode, it's the shoot your shot shout out. This is where we celebrate you guys, our wonderful listeners. You've gone out there, you've shot your shot, and you're back to tell us about it. This week, our shout out goes to Maisie. And Maisie, thank you, Maisie, bought us two coffees. She is supporting the show and helping us make this episode. What did Maisie say?
She said, "Hey, Emma and Sarah, I just wanted to thank you so much for your awesome and insightful podcast that helped me so much during my difficult job search journey. I've been looking for a new job in a totally new industry after having a terrible experience in my last company and leaving the job 4 months ago. The environment was toxic and the managers were really mean, and it meant my confidence in the working world was pretty low by the end of it. I started doing interviews as soon as I left and faced rejections, as well as two times where I actually did get the job, and then the offer got retracted afterward due to budget cuts or them changing their mind. Feeling very defeated and making the decision to venture down a new path, I found your podcast along the way and binged it all month, as well as listening to your pep talk episode about 4 times en route to each interview. Love it. Your advice made me feel confident, prepared, and like I had all the attributes and skills to succeed within me. So long as I prepared well, which you guys helped me do. Your lighthearted and funny outlooks also helped me feel less nervous and relaxed about the whole process. It's also worth mentioning that the success stories at the beginning of each episode not only inspired me, but helped me manifest to be one of those people one day getting the shout out at the beginning of an episode, because like those people, I'd achieved my dream job. I had a final interview for my perfect role last week, thinking it would be too good to be true to get it, but they called me on Friday to say I'd got the job. I was so beyond happy, and I know your help was part of my success. I'm going to recommend you to everyone I know searching for a job or needing career help."
Oh, Maisie, what a full circle moment. Don't you just love that? That she's sitting there going, "Oh, these success stories, like I'm going to be one of those." And look at her right here, right now, at the beginning of an episode.
Manifestation works. I love it. There's two camps of people. You can either hear these stories and feel bitter and feel like jealous and why couldn't that be me and it's not fair, or you can use it as a source of inspiration and believe that that will be you one day.
Yep. And I love that people talk about it's not always that they shot their shot and they landed the amazing job straight away. Like, not only did Maisie talk about rejections, which, you know, go listen to our episode about changing the word rejection. But on another level of getting the job offer, getting the offer. Remember how we say, like, don't celebrate, like, don't get too ahead of yourself, like, wait until you've got the offer. And then it gets withdrawn more than once. That's absolutely brutal. That is a whole nother level of disappointment.
So savage. I've never heard of that. That would have been a new rock bottom.
Yeah, and that is the sign of a tougher job market, wherever Maisie is kind of riding in from and whatever industry. That stuff does happen. It doesn't necessarily mean anything about her, but it doesn't change the fact that, wow, the rug gets pulled from under you.
Yes. Now, if you want results like Maisie and want to land your dream job, you've got an interview coming up. You can book a session with Sarah, a one-on-one sit-down chat where you get to really hone in on a specific area that you need help with. But if you just need broad help, you need it broken down step by step, and you need help now and don't want to wait for Sarah to have availability, you can sign up to Interview Academy, which might be a better fit.
Check them both out at interviewboss.com.au/coaching to see which one is right for you.
As always, if you loved an episode, used a tip that we sent you, or want to request an episode specifically on your conundrum or industry, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and we could dedicate a whole topic to you, which is what we did for Chelsea. She sent us a DM on Insta and said, "Hi girls, love the potty and your free resources were amazing in helping me along the way. I've landed a trial shift this Friday and I'd love to know if you have any advice." And I thought this was such a great topic because we've covered kind of group interviews before where you're on a micro level being put on the spot and being tested on how you would possibly do the job. But we've never done a trial shift, which is different in that, you know, it's sometimes a whole day, a whole shift. It's more long form. There's more room to kind of make relationships with people, have a good impression on colleagues and show your interest. So I said, put this to the top of the line. We need to do an episode on this.
Yes, I thought this was a great topic. Now, with most of our episodes, we are going to start with talking about what is a trial shift? What does this actually mean? Like, maybe this is the first time you've actually come across this concept before, and maybe you've been asked to do one, maybe you've heard about it. What does it actually mean? Well, like Emma said, it can be a little bit like doing an activity or doing a project as part of an interview process, but it's seeing how you actually work in action, in the actual workplace, surrounded by colleagues in an actual real world environment. And often you might even get paid for that day as well. It's almost like you're actually working just for the first day to see how things go.
Yeah. Important to note that this should not be free labor, although sometimes, unfortunately, companies do use this as free labor. It's not a test of perfection. You're not expected to come in and perfectly, seamlessly be performing at the level of the other employees. And it's certainly not a sneaky way to fill a roster hole. But again, that doesn't mean it's not sometimes used as a sneaky way to fill a hole in the roster.
Yeah. Now, one of the thoughts that I had when I was thinking about, like, what would people want to know about trial shifts? I kind of think that some of the misconceptions people might have going into a trial shift, trying to be perfect, trying to think, well, what are they really looking for, comes back to not really understanding how great they already are just by being a decent employee. Like, the fact that you don't know what the red flags are that they're looking out for is the exact reason that you're the kind of person that won't have any problems with this. Does that kind of make sense?
You
don't even realize that the bar that they're looking for is like, do you actually turn up? Do you turn up on time? Like, just by the fact that you've done two of those things, I bet for a lot of these trial shifts, that's like, you know, 20% of the battle that right there already. So you kind of thinking, well, what are they really looking for?
In some ways, it's like the bar's on the floor. If you just show up and have a good attitude, you get through seamless, you ask some questions, they're probably thinking, well, that was a success.
Yes. And so I think people who just would never think to do anything other than that would probably get confused being like, well, what are they actually looking for me to do? I don't know this job yet. What can they possibly know from that first shift? But I'm going to get you to imagine, or to remember if you've seen it before, it really does happen that a manager will hire someone and as soon as they show up on their first day, they know they've made a mistake for whatever reason. Like, you can just tell that they haven't dressed appropriately. They're making weird jokes to everyone. They went out for a smoke break within their first 10 minutes. They are going, really, whenever you're showing them how to do something. Like, there's just some attitude stuff that you can like instantly pick up on in their first like hour or two. And those are the things that you can kind of find out in a trial shift.
Yeah, that makes sense. So there are a range of different industries or types of jobs that you might commonly get asked to do a trial shift, big in the hospo space. So cafes, a bar job, busy kind of barista job, something like that, really common. They want to see how you work as a team.
Could even be actual kind of food service, like back of house as well, potentially that kind of thing. They might actually want to see how you are going to do this job, because all of those things, it's a little bit more difficult to take your word for, oh, I have great customer service. They kind of just want to see you greet a customer and take them to their table to understand, okay, let me see your customer service, that, and then I'll actually know what that looks like, rather than those, some of those things are kind of hard to talk about. And like, if you're working in a kitchen, oh yeah, I'm really good at chopping things. Well, you know, how do you really describe that, right? Like, you're more likely going to say, well, just show me. Or I can make really great cocktails. Yeah, I know the ingredients for these cocktails. Yeah, you could probably test them, I guess, but you more so want to see, great, show me. Like, how do you do that? And then also take the next person's order at the same time. A lot of those things are just very physical, in-person, action-driven tasks.
Yeah. They want to see how you learn, how you work as a team, chatting to customers. Another big one is retail and any kind of customer-facing roles. I'll never forget our middle sister, Annie, had, when she was in uni, a trial at a retail store where she had to go in and they were just like, all right, like they didn't give any direction. They're just like, pretend you work here. And I remember being horrified because I was a teenager at the time who was nervous and just thought that would be like my personal hell. And she had to just like start chatting to customers and be like, what are you shopping for today? Like, oh, this would be really nice. And they just want to see that you can come in, be friendly, and just be confident.
Yeah. And also, like, if you get the type of customer that works there and what they might be interested in. Yeah, sure, you don't know how to check if something's in stock. You don't know how to answer their questions about the product, you know, and the technical specs of it or whatever it might be. But those skills of just being able to chat and relate to the customers that are in that store tend to be the harder ones to train someone in. So particularly if they're in a casual environment or something where, you know, it's a little bit lower kind of stakes, they're going to take those skills. Great, you already know how to do that stuff. We're going to show you these things, how to operate the register, how to find stock, how to whatever, the processes that we have in place. And then great, those are the people that we kind of want. And so you're kind of going off like vibes a little bit in terms of how you act in the store.
Another big one is trades, labor, any kind of hands-on work. This is massive. So they want to see the quality of your work, but also if you take direction, if you have a good sense of initiative, you're not standing around waiting to get, you know, play by plays on every little thing. If you take safety seriously, if you're reliable, that's massive. I feel like every apprenticeship or stuff like that, they all start with a trial.
Yeah, totally. And it could even come as you're more experienced. These don't always have to be totally entry level type things. I mean, I'm not saying trial shifts are really, really common everywhere, but I can see how you would maybe even do this for an experienced tradesperson. You could say, like, maybe it's not a whole shift because maybe someone is like already in a job, but you would maybe say, like, show me some of your work, or like, come over here and show me how you would do this, or can you do this project? I'll just pay you for this bit of work, to kind of see how they actually go. Because again, the quality of work that you put out as a tradesman or a laborer or something, again, it's hard to explain, isn't it? Like, oh yeah, I do that well. Like, it's kind of like design or any of those kind of very visual things. You kind of need to see an example to know what kind of quality or what level you're kind of looking at. So yeah, that could absolutely be an example.
Another big one is within corporate. You just mentioned like graphic design. I have a few people in my life who are graphic designers, and the trials that they're put through are crazy. It's edging on being exploited, but working a full shift, getting creative briefs, doing designs, and then those actual designs being used on their website later, stuff like that. But that's really common to be able to see your work, especially if it's subjective or the brand needs a certain kind of look.
Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy.
Also, I know within my job, I would have never considered that we would put someone on a trial in the newsroom until recently, where we did some interviews and someone who was amazing in the interview came in at first and they'd already got the job and they really needed a lot of work with writing stories, which is 95% of what we do. And so that was a bit of a panic moment of like, oh man, probably the next phase of this interview process should have been come in and do a trial shift. Things that I want to gauge when I'm training someone is their writing good? Obviously, we can improve it and help them and stuff, but do they have a basic understanding of how to write quickly and well? Also, not being scared of, we have to just get on the phone and call people, emergency services, politicians, and you get the people who come in and are like, they're shaking, they have phone, you know, they're just freaking out. I don't want to make that sound bad because I know phone anxiety is real. But when you're starting a new job, you just swallow the phone anxiety and you press dial and you act confident and you just give it a crack. But the people who are so hesitant to even like give it a try.
Yes. And I think with certain jobs, those kinds of things are really important. Like the person who is hesitant at first, maybe in some roles, they don't have to make that many phone calls. It's not that big of a deal. They will eventually kind of get over it and they'll just learn that it's part of the job. In other areas, that hesitation kind of never really goes away, like because they're still always like, oh, well, just could I send an email instead? And actually that's the thing that makes a difference in that kind of couple of percent of doing your job really, really well to being like, oh, I'll just pick up the phone. Yep, let me call them. Oh, I got this thing. Versus someone who is like, oh, is there another way? Do I have to? And that can be an issue.
Yes. And when we're dealing with breaking news and minutes and getting the story quick, like we need you to be fearless and be like a Karen in that sense that like I want...
Fearless.
Sorry. You need to be fearless and...
No, I like that. And you need to be fierce, not and fearless.
You need to be fearless and almost be a Karen in the sense that like I need this and nothing's going to stand in my way and I'm going to just... call whoever I need to call to get it. Whereas, yeah, you can send an email, but what happens is no one replies to emails. You'll get the story 6 hours late. Like, we need you to be crazy. And so it sounds silly, but if I can sense...
And you have to push. It's not like you're just like, oh, yeah. Hi, do you think maybe I could get... Like, you have to really be like, hey, I need a comment.
It's we need this. Assertive. Yeah. So if I can sense that someone initially... just isn't going to be that type of person that's going to get on the phone, like be a news hound. It's tricky. So yeah, I think that there's definitely a place for trials in the corporate world as well.
Yeah, totally. And as we kind of have talked about in lots of our other episodes, a lot of what we're trying to do in the hiring process is understand what skills that person has, whether there's certain gaps that we go, okay, well, look, you've got a good writing knack. They're not necessarily news stories. They're a bit long, but hey, you've got a good way with words. We think we can work with that. We've got someone who can show you things. They're just trying to understand how you would operate in their environment. And sometimes the best way to do that is to get you to operate in their environment and actually see how you go. Obviously, it's not relevant for every different industry. The last one that I wanted to give as a bit of an example that I thought didn't originally come to mind for me, but as I was looking up different examples, this popped up: fitness, coaching, and instruction jobs. And I think I read some stuff that suggested that this could sometimes be talked about as more of an audition. So you would come in and maybe teach a fitness class, or you would lead a yoga class or something like that. And maybe another instructor or something would be like, okay, what do they think of how you program a class? Whether you're actually doing it in front of real people or whether you're just kind of doing it just for them kind of thing, leading them through a yoga practice. They would be looking at like your programming, your confidence, your presence, your engagement with clients, like your knowledge, all that kind of stuff. So I thought that was another idea as well. I wanted to go beyond. I always think of hospitality for trial shifts, but it's really not just hospitality.
Yeah, definitely. So some details that you'll want to find out, very important. How long will it be paid? What's the expectation here? Like if you say, hey, will this be paid? And they say no, is that something that's standard and you should just be okay with it? Or do you have a leg to stand on to be like, well, that's a whole day. I probably should be paid.
I think you want to know, are we talking about one day? Are you talking about a trial week? Like what does this actually look like? Is it an 8-hour day or are you asking me to come in for 2 hours? Like I think all of those things matter in terms of context. Also, what are they going to be expecting you to do? Are you really just an extra person and like you're not really doing the job for someone else? Like you're not saving anyone any workload by being there. You're just doing some bits and pieces. It's kind of like a live interview type thing. I would be less concerned if I wasn't being paid, if I was just there as an extra and we were just kind of sussing it out and it was maybe a short amount of hours.
Almost shadowing.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. If you were doing a whole shift and actually working, I would be more expecting like, well, is this a paid day? Often that's what the difference is between coming in for, you know, a working interview or a practical interview or something versus coming in for a trial shift is often it will be paid in some way. Maybe it won't be like you're paid as per an employee, but maybe you get a voucher or a something. There might be some other form of kind of compensation.
And also you should ask what you should wear.
I laugh at that one just because I was like, that's what came to mind for me. I'd be like, well, what am I supposed to turn up in? I probably don't have a uniform yet. Like, what do you want me to wear?
But what will I wear?
It's so true though. Like it's a trial. What am I going to wear?
And when will you know how it went? So you want some feedback. You don't want to come in for a whole day and then not hear back.
Yeah, exactly. And I think particularly when you've come in for a whole day and actually worked the day, like I would want to be kind of going, maybe they'll say to you something like, okay, bring all your information with you because if it goes well, we'll let you know at the end of the shift and you can fill in your paperwork then and there, or we'll send you a contract the next day. Like I would want a clear expectation of like, okay, if I do this trial shift, what happens then? What's the next step?
Yeah. And important disclaimers about what they're not looking for to ease the anxiety. You are not expected to know everything already. They're looking to know that you can learn what they're showing you, that you're going, okay, yep, I could do that. Not, whoa, I am not qualified or competent enough to attempt that. And how you interact with the team, clients, customers, being friendly. And if you've got a good attitude, like Sarah said, if you're already asking about break times, if you're, you know, on your phone, yeah, if you've worn something not appropriate, just the overall vibe check.
Yeah, we're looking at a lot of basics here. They're not going to be running you through, here's how you log in, here's how you do this, here's how you put through this. It might be a little bit you're thrown in the deep end. You're not expected to get it perfect, but you will be expected to give it a go. And a lot of the time with a trial shift, that's what they'll be kind of trying to understand from you. No, I haven't given you enough details. No, you haven't worked here before. You don't know where all the stuff's kept, but I want to see, can you get in and just figure something out? Like, can you work out how to be like, okay, well, I guess I should say hello to that customer without having to be told exactly what to say? You know, like, I think there will be a lot of initiative that will really pay off here, but it's also just the real basics. Like, really just think about your first impressions, how you're coming across. You're not getting comfortable and casual in this environment on a trial shift.
I'm trying to think of little things that I would be impressed by if someone came in for a trial with me. And if I was busy or about to go and read the news and the phone rang, if the person was like, oh, do you want me to grab that? And even though that might be a bit nerve-wracking and I haven't given them an exact script of what we say, they could pick it up and go, hello, Sarah speaking, how can I help you or something? And then go, great, I'll put you on hold. And
then be like, how do I put her on hold? They could just cover up the handset though, right? Like, this is what I mean. Like, don't let the, I don't know how to do that stop you from being like, well, I imagine that I have to pick it up and see who it is.
Say something.
And I could have a pen ready to make a note. Like, you know, these are very straightforward things that it's so not hard. Like, honestly, that picking up the phone thing goes in almost any job that you might come across. I feel like that would go down really well. Being able to be like, hi, this is so-and-so, you've called this place. What can I do for you? Okay. Oh, I don't know about that, but let me just get back to you and put the phone down and write something down.
Let me find someone who can.
Game changer. That's amazing.
And on that train of practical tips, you're seeing what it's like to work there too. So it's also a trial for them. You're judging their workplace. Is it good? Are people friendly? Is there good systems? And yeah, that can help take some anxiety away. You're trialing them as well. Be on time. For the love of God, be on time. That's 101.
Yep, it is. And I was trying to think of other really practical tips. I kind of think when I said before, you're not getting super comfortable, don't be trying out anything edgy. Like maybe with your last workplace, you had such great rapport, you made a lot of jokes, you would be like, ah, oh, did you see, you know, the choice that customer made with that outfit or whatever? I don't know, maybe that was okay in your environment when you really understood each other and you're like, oh, that shirt over there, oh, does anyone even buy that? It's so ugly. You shouldn't be testing the waters on that stuff in a trial shift. You don't know the vibes yet, and you don't want to misread that too early on, even if it's just like a little bit of sarcasm or a side joke or anything. You just don't want that to come across the wrong way.
Yeah, definitely. Save that for well into the prospective employment.
Let them go first.
Yeah. Don't just assume that it's the boss only who's assessing you, because they might ask your colleague for feedback on how you went during the day. And depending on the setup, like for example, my boss might be the one that's making the decision, but the person is spending the entire day with me. They're in the other office. They walk them in and they say, all right, off you go, and they leave. So really, I'm your biggest critic.
Yeah, that's right. And if you are like, oh, okay, well, he's gone for a long lunch, so do you think I can take a long lunch? And it's like this whole idea that they're the only one that you have to impress, not the person that you're actually working with.
And don't forget too, people that you won't directly work with but are in the building, like the receptionist or someone who brings them in might say, oh, wow, she was so lovely, and incidentally, in the corridor, reflect, or if they got chatting to someone, other people in the office are invested on who the fresh meat is that might be joining their team. If they had a good or bad interaction, even if it was minor, they're going to pass it on.
Yeah, even if there's another new starter there that was only started a few weeks ago, like can you chat to them, understand from them? Just, it's basic stuff. Like there's nothing really that groundbreaking here. And I kind of feel bad about that, but I really don't think a trial shift is about being groundbreaking. Like another really practical tip, we talked about be proactive. If I break that down even further, there will often be times in a trial shift where you don't really know what you're meant to be doing, because maybe the person who's training you or showing you things is busy, or maybe there's no customers or something like that. Just look around and try and find something that you think is like generically helpful. Can you polish some glasses? Can you like wipe down a desk? Can you take someone's cups to the kitchen? Like these don't have to be even related to the job that you're there to do. You're just generally being a little bit helpful. Like, can you read some extra documents in the meantime? Like, can you, yeah, tidy up the yoga mats in the corner?
Yeah, for sure. Have that initiative. Or maybe not when they're extremely busy and focusing, but ask some questions. Or, oh, I noticed you did that. What's your general type of rule with that? Or how does this work? Be curious. Now, some red flags. Dun, dun, dun. You can keep an eye out for what your colleagues are like. Do they like their jobs? Are people happy and they love what they do? Or are they a bit miserable and they're like, yeah, so this is how we do this. Don't bother trying to ask them to change it, because nothing gets done around here. That's just the way it is. Oh, this takes 6 weeks. Oh, this is how you're meant to do it, but I don't do it like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true. And you can feel that coming. And you want to try and judge, is it just that person? Because like, you know, every workplace has one or two people.
Every
like
office
that.
Has that person.
Or is it everyone is kind of like that? And is it like, actually, that's just the vibe in general? I think another red flag is, are the expectations clear, or were the expectations clear? Did they tell you it was going to be a 2-hour trial shift and now they're asking you to stay for the rest of the day? Like, that's not necessarily a bad thing on its own, but is there just a sense of like everything keeps being different to what you were told and you really don't know what to expect? You were told you were going to hear back, but now they're asking you to come in again for a different shift. Now they're going to get you to do this job instead of you thought you were coming in for that job. How did it compare to your expectations? And is there this idea that it's going to be more than just one shift or long-term unpaid, or maybe really unclear when the trial ends? Like if they're handing you, here's your shifts for the next week, are those trial shifts as well? Like try and get clear on some of that stuff. I think those would be the red flags that I would be looking out for, or just maybe even yellow flags, something that you just want to get clarity on before you go further.
Perfect. Good luck with your trial shift. Don't overthink it. It's simple. Just stick to the basics. Curious, good attitude, showing initiative, and you'll do great.
Yep. And I love the positive frame of this opportunity. Instead of having to talk about it and convince someone of how good you are to work with, you just get to turn up and be good to work with. That's a lot easier than having to describe it and having to explain how you always get along with your colleagues. Instead, you can turn up and get along with your colleagues. That's so much easier to do. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, hit that follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. You can do that the old-fashioned way, in person, send a text, or you could even leave a rating or review and tell strangers how great we are. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, and some helpful, savable content, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss, or go find me on LinkedIn and chuck me a follow. Em, can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something, and I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.